fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America,
the next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a pre-Friday celebration, my friends. Greatest day of the entire week. I don't care what anybody says. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. We still have a lot of get-go going here, as we do every single day. So great to have you along with us, as usual. Broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. It's so wonderful to have you, your millennial general, reporting for duty like we do every single day. There is a lot to talk about, as usual. Like, there's no news going on in the world, right? None at all. So we'll get to as much of it as we can today. We have a lot of audio to play for you as well. Bottom of the hour, Kristen Jackson, she'll be joining us. She is the co-founder of Freespoke. If you don't know what Freespoke is, highly recommend you go and check it out. A new search engine that's competing against Google, that actually doesn't track you, that doesn't collect your data and information, that doesn't try to silence and censor certain content because it goes against their quote-unquote community standards and policies, aka anything that may be conservative in some way, shape, or form. So we'll talk with Kristen about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Before we do that, though, we have some breaking news, and we need to go live down to a certain location.
What's going on in this world of mine? There's a whole lot of killing in this world of mine. Somebody's got to help this world of mine.
We're going to go to our friends out in New York City for just a moment and get the latest. Because obviously New York City, a very deep blue area, very Democrat, very anti-Trump, even though Donald Trump ran businesses there for a very long time. And everybody loved him until he ran as a Republican. Now he's the worst thing on the face of the earth. We're going to go live to the On the Streets interview. What's happening in New York City?
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
that's well done. Well done. Slow clap. That was on the Tweety. That was an interview done in Manhattan with a very unionized construction worker in the Manhattan area. And I wish I could play the whole thing, like, without the bleep in there. I know it's obviously not FCC approved, but the accent of these guys. Now, he's just this big, burly construction guy that you would think would be very pro-Democrat. Obviously very pro, let's raise benefits and let's raise minimum wages and let's do all the stuff with the unions. And obviously they're construction workers, the blue-collar guy that the Democrats supposedly have in their back pocket and in the deep area of New York City.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
The accent makes it. It's what makes it. I think it's hilarious. So Donald Trump gaining more support and Joe Biden continuously losing that support each and every day. But it makes sense when you don't remember your name half the time and you have to read the teleprompter, which leads us to the campaign trail right now. Is Donald, apparently Joe Biden is working with the celebrities in New York City. Now, remember, he's the guy that's for the little man. He's the guy that's for the small business. He's the guy against the elite. He's the guy that doesn't like the big corporations. He's against the big guys that have all the money, all the, as Bernie Sanders would say, the millionaires and billionaires. He's against all of them while he's out there partnering up with George Clooney and other celebrities in Hollywood to try and do a big fundraiser coming up where it sounds like even other celebrities could attend as well. And I'm sure his speech will go swimmingly when he reads his teleprompter.
Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
I can't get enough of that one. That is the latest from the Biden camp, where they want to be working in the West Coast now. Is according to, what is this, BreitbartNews.com, Hollywood elites are working with former President Barack Obama in the reelection of Joe Biden as well, where they say that George Clooney is putting together the team along with former President Barack Obama to do the big fundraiser. Now, remember, this is weeks after Joe Biden did a record-breaking campaign night, again with major elites, And then he was like, oh, look at that. We've raised more money in one day than any other former presidential candidate in the history of America. We're great. We're awesome. Everything's swell. And then Donald Trump went to Mar-a-Lago with some big funders for the Republicans as well. And he like doubled the amount of money that Joe Biden got. So now they have to beat the record. It's now a competition on who can raise the most at one singular time. And going to the Hollywood elites and former President Barack Obama, I guess I could potentially do it. But did you know that Julie Roberts might attend? That right there, that brings it to you. I don't know why, but that's the headline according to Breitbart. George Clooney teaming up with Obama for Biden Hollywood fundraiser. Julie Roberts might attend. I don't know what the significance is of Julie Roberts attending a fundraiser for Joe Biden and the Democrats to try and raise money. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but you know what? I guess that's what you have to do when Donald Trump beats you at everything and you're getting a little angry about something like that. So you have to find a new way to be crafty and raise as much money as possible while your favorability with the average American continues to dwindle. So obviously the proper thing to do, the proper response in that scenario would not be to go to the average American and try to campaign and try to win them back over, but to go to the elite and hopefully that a Hollywood star that you see in a movie will be like, ha-ha, I'm spending millions of dollars with you. And then people will be like, cool, all right, I guess we'll support you too. Is that going to work? Probably not. All right, that's what I have from the campaign trail. Let's get into really what's trending. What do you say?
What's trending today?
I mean, the campaign trail would be talking to the New York construction worker, sorry, the Manhattan construction worker on his response to Joe Biden, because I think more people are starting to feel that way every day, especially with how Joe Biden and the Biden administration's been handling the anti-Israeli protests on college campuses right now, where I told you this, did I not say not a week ago that when confronted about the issue about the anti-Israeli protests and death to America and death to the Jews and pro-Palestine and so on and so forth, that when asked about that, the response would be, well, yeah, that's bad, but we need to be pro-Palestinian as well and pro-Muslim, because obviously there's a whole lot of Islamophobia going on right now. So obviously with all the anti-Israeli and it's anti-Semitic comments that are happening, there must be anti-Muslim things going on as well. So therefore, we need to balance them out. And even though there's no Muslims being beat up in the streets or anything, or having any fear of actually going to classes in college, that obviously that must be happening somewhere. The left-wing mainstream media that's on our side is just not reporting it. But we know it's happening, which is essentially what's going on right now. As we see Columbia University and other universities around the nation seeing these major protests, I was watching a video online of some of these protests where, in fact, with Columbia, New York Police Department had to come in and round up and arrest more than 100 of these protesters because they were getting out of hand. But I was watching some of the video of the firsthand accounts, especially from Jewish individuals, and there's tents lined up all over campus, like all over the place, just these protesters that are sitting in. Now, to me, that would say that they're not there to be students, but they're actually the professional protesters that were brought in. Because if they were actually students, they'd be in their dorm rooms and then coming out to protest and then going back to their dorm rooms. But that's not happening. So I'm assuming that these are non-college students that are there just to protest for the sake of protesting. And I'm sure you've seen and heard the videos, multiple of them, of these students that have no clue what they're even protesting for. They're just protesting for the sake of protesting. And then they're asking their friends, hey, what are we doing here? What are we protesting again? I forget. I don't know what we're doing. But yeah, Israel bad. From the river to the sea, baby. It's what it's all about. And to the point, students are getting a little uncomfortable.
My biggest takeaway is that most of the people inside of the school don't really know what they're talking about. A lot of them won't even be able to put Israel on a map. And the people that do, they tell them not to engage. So in the beginning of the conflict, people that did want to learn and want to understand, they would. You would have a very interesting conversation with them. But I think a lot of the narrative, especially inside the camp, is not to engage to anyone who looks like Zionist or Jewish so that you won't, like, I don't know. So I think the lack of communication is making people even more radicalized. And yeah, you know, students feel afraid on campus. It's crazy.
I never thought, and I've said this many times before, I never thought that I would see so much hate and anti-Semitism that we would be afraid, Jewish individuals in the United States would be afraid to be able to go to school and go to classrooms, and professors being able to walk into the classroom or even just step foot on campus as well, which is a cause for concern. One Jewish professor that I believe goes to Columbia University was on Fox News recently and said essentially the same thing.
There's only one people that are losing, and it's the Jewish people. The Jewish students. I spent last night speaking with Jewish students. They are scared. They are fleeing campus. They're not leaving campus. They're fleeing campus. I have been speaking about this support for Hamas for 6 months. The president has never replied to my email. The trustees have never reached out. It's the University of Columbia has two presidents right now, and it's Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, because this is not about Israel. This is about America. And the university just decided that they don't care about Jewish safety. They don't care about the Jewish students. They are negotiating with suspended organizations that are, they want to burn everything down. And I'm despondent this morning.
That audio from Fox News, by the way. Hey, so we're trying to do this anti-hate speech bill. Remember that from a few years ago under the Biden administration? We're doing an anti-hate speech bill, or maybe it was under the Trump administration, but Congress ended up passing this absurd thing that we don't want any hatred against the Jewish communities in the nation. Because if you remember, really since the beginning of the Biden administration, even towards the end of the Trump administration, not because of Donald Trump, obviously, but because the anti-Trumpers were also going after any conservative, especially the Jewish communities, where the anti-Semitism began to rise at that point little by little to now it's blown just and overflowed out of its own jar, that they began little by little to the point where we even had to create an anti-hate speech bill on the congressional floor because of the election of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and all these other B-squatters that they were sending these ridiculous anti-Semitic messages from the Congress. And we had to create an anti-hate speech bill that said, hey, you can't say this stuff against the Jewish community as an elected official, especially someone who's just in the nation in general. You can't be doing that. What are you doing here? And the bill turned into from you can't say anything anti-Semitic to, well, there's more hatred going on against the Islamic communities. So therefore, it's going to be turned into, yeah, I guess you can do the whole Jewish thing. But no, you really can't say anything that's Islamophobic because that's really, really bad. And that's what that hate speech bill turned into. And every time that the Biden administration and Karine Jean-Pierre and the White House in general or Democrats in general or elected officials that have a D in front of the name in general, for whatever reason, when asked about anti-Semitic remarks, they're like, well, yeah, it's bad and it's happening, but that Islamophobia thing's really a big deal. To the point where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our favorite person on the face of the earth,
I am told this is a garbage disposal,
has made a post on the Tweety just a day or so ago about the remarks of New York City police going in and arresting some of these quote-unquote peaceful protesters on Columbia University, that's made it so fearful that Jewish professors aren't even able to step on campus, that the Jewish students aren't even able to be on campus. The peaceful protesters that have put Jewish lives in jeopardy, she's now upset with the tweet that says, not only did Columbia make this horrific decision to mobilize NYPD on their own students, attacking their own students, but the units called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. NYPD has promised the city they wouldn't deploy the SRG to protest, so why are the counter-terror units here? I don't know. Maybe the protesters are supporting terrorism. Just throwing that idea out there.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back to it. So great to have you along for the ride. 24 minutes past the hour, radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting, and our pre-Friday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week, because that's just what we do here. So we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, our favorite person on the face of the earth, because, well, I mean, truly.
I am truly told this is a garbage disposal.
That is angry that Columbia University called out the New York Police Department to round up protesters that have made it unsafe, where they literally said it's unsafe, which is why they've banned the Jewish professors and students on campus, because it's unsafe for them to return and actually go to class and actually teach and do their thing. That she said that it's unfair that NYPD has been called to arrest these protesters in a quote-unquote peaceful protest that's calling for the extermination of Jews. So I find that kind of ironic. But remember, they're not in the class of victimization like Muslims are. You have to get into the mind of a Democrat. And I know that's very difficult to do, and sometimes you feel really kind of silly about doing something like that, but you know, oh, come on, I know, right?
Let's go into the Biden basement.
So, by the way, I haven't done this in a while, but we are going to be making a new product, a new infomercial here on the program with our different satire bits. I am coming up with the hierarchy of Democrat victimization, because there's definitely a hierarchy. And the Jews, the Jewish community, they were on the protected victimization class of the Democrats for a long time until the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Tlaibs and everybody else came on and started changing the narrative, where they're no longer as high up on the totem pole of victimization, but now the Muslims are. And that really started really, I guess, after 2001, and rightfully so. There were, let's admit, there were some hate events and hate crimes going on against the Muslim community at that time, because people were scared, and when they get scared, they become irrational and they end up doing some really stupid stuff. None of it was justified to go after a Muslim community just because they're Muslim, thinking that they're going to be a terrorist. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. We're smarter than that. We have a little bit higher IQ than that. So those people that do that sort of thing is completely absurd and stupid and wrong and ridiculous. But now we're at a point where the Muslim victimization is much higher than the Jewish victimization. So on the ranking of the Democrat scale now, the Jews are irrelevant. We don't really care. So if your life is threatened, then, oh, well, too bad, so sad. We're protesting because we're pro-Palestine. The nation of Israel is evil. Therefore, even though Israel is not a purely Jewish nation, they're not aware of that. They're not smart enough to recognize that, that they say that that nation needs to be wiped out. They're a bunch of Zionists. They're a bunch of white supremacists, which is a contradiction in its own. I know it's not my words, it's their words, and therefore they need to be wiped out. So any Jew is actually just under that lump sum of understanding. That's really where this comes down to. Which, so AOC upset, tweeting out about how evil it is to actually turn the NYPD against these protesters. The police have responded, by the way, after that event, responding to AOC, tweeting out, quote, "Not a single incident was reported. The only incidents the day on campus were the students' hateful anti-Semitic speech and the vile language towards our cops. I'm sure you agree any hateful speech is unacceptable. You should rethink your comments to simply thank you to the NYPD, and hate has no place in our society." That was the response from NYPD to AOC's speech. So well done on that one. Again, let's give you some kudos. But of course, we're not going to get that thank you to the NYPD for stopping hate speech on campus from AOC, because obviously they're the victimized ones for being silenced for their hateful rhetoric during a quote-unquote peaceful protest. By the way, Ilhan Omar, as you know, her daughter has been kicked off of campus because of the part of the protest and has been suspended. There is a headline now that she's been seen back on campus with her daughter, apparently trying to weasel their way back into allowing her daughter to continue education at Columbia University. I don't know if that will go anywhere or not, but she was seen on campus. So I'm wondering how that to be a fly on that wall and hear that conversation, whether she was pleading or whether she was angry playing the victim. "I'm Muslim. How dare you try and stop us from aiding Jewish people? It's my right to do so." I'm wondering how that conversation went.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. Trying to rebrand the millennial generation, one radio listener at a time. Your political therapist, the way we therify you on a daily basis. Trying to keep you in a somewhat zen meditation, which is what we do here on the show. I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that conversation. Ilhan Omar being spotted on campus with her daughter at Columbia University about trying to get her back into school after being suspended, being part of the anti-Israeli protests that have led to NYPD arresting more than 100 protesters over the past week because of these violent protesters that are the quote-unquote mostly peaceful protests. And I'm curious on what tactic Ilhan Omar took. Does she use the authority of being a congresswoman in government to come in and sit down with the president and say, hey, you're going to let my daughter come back here because that's what I said and because I'm an elected official, so therefore I'm going to bully you into it? Or is she going to use the pleading and be like, please let my daughter come back here. Please. Obviously, we have these we don't like Jewish people, but we're going to be totally peaceful about it. We just don't like Jewish. And I say that not because she's just Muslim, but I say that because we literally had a hate speech bill being passed out of Congress that was because of specifically comments that she had made on the congressional House floor about how Jews run everything and they're corrupting everything and they're the most evil people on the face of the earth and how we shouldn't have an ally with the nation of Israel. She literally said those that led to a hate speech bill being passed in Congress. They got twisted originally from being saying that you can't say anti-Semitic things to them being twisted and turned around and saying that there's a whole bunch of Islamophobia going on in society. So she's the reason that we started this conversation, and that's kind of escalated some of this hate speech going on. So AOC upset about the NYPD there. Ilhan Omar showing up on campus personally, trying to get her daughter back into college. And this is what has led to what's our higher education and the lack of understanding that's going on about the actual conflict in the Middle East, which leads us to our latest in What's Trending.
What's trending today?
And you would think today, with all the technology, with artificial intelligence, with search engines out there, with all the information overload that we all have with TV and with radio and with podcasts and with articles and with blogs and with people's opinions and with social media, you would think with all of this going on that we would be the most educated society on the face of the earth and ever in humanity because of all this information. But in fact, there's so much information and there's so much misinformation that's going on out there.
You are fake news.
If you know what I mean. That right now we don't know what to believe. And in fact, our IQ levels continue to dwindle a little bit. And then we have the government that has to step in and say, no. We're going to go ahead and regulate the content on social media. We're going to regulate the content. We're going to work with companies like Google. We're going to work with companies like Meta. We're going to work with companies like YouTube, that's, by the way, owned by Google, to censor certain content so that way you're not confused about what the truth really is. Yeah, what does that actually mean? To talk about some of that and more, really happy to have on the program, as she is the co-founder of the new search engine, Freespoke. What is Freespoke? The alternative to Google when it comes to actually searching information that doesn't take your information and that allows you to actually see information without it being censored or shadow banned or censored in some way, shape, or form. Happy to have on the program Kristen Jackson with us here. Kristen, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me to be here with some people of reason, some common sense.
Some common sense. That's what it's all about. And that's what we need in society today. And it's so great to have you, Kristen. Before we go into some of these issues, because there's a lot of news that's relevant to this topic right now, tell us, what is Freespoke? How did this come about?
Yeah, so we are a full, and we're really just a search engine for these regular people like you and me and your listeners who just want the internet the way that it was supposed to be, which is results that give you that full picture so you can actually be informed, like you were saying, with privacy and without pornography. So we kicked this off about 5 years ago, fully functioning. You can download Freespoke today in the app or go to www.freespoke.com. And what you find are just full search results from all viewpoints, left, right, and middle, equal treatment. You can have that debate of ideas. It's that full privacy, anonymous searching. So there's no way for us to knit together some profile about you and track and target, manipulate what you're seeing so we can make money. That's not how we operate. That's how big tech operates. And we also don't have pornography. So we can get into that detail too, if you'd like.
Yeah. There's a lot to get to. Let's talk about, I've seen headlines, and obviously this is a big topic going on right now. We have the potential banning of TikTok, which has caused some issues with, social media, freedom of speech, what kind of content that's being controlled by our government versus outside governments. which is interesting. We have NPR right now that's openly admitted now by people inside saying that they've been extremely biased in their news reporting, which when people just want information, they don't want it biased one way or the other. We have the funding of NPR and PBS from the government. We have now the net neutrality that the FCC just voted on 3-2 to bring back net neutrality. There's a lot of stuff going on right now about controlling content, collecting your data, whether it's sensitive data or not, and then telling you what the truth is. And I don't think people have much of an appetite for this stuff anymore, do they?
Yeah, we're really seeing that even with privacy. For a long time, people, I think, were like, I don't really have anything to hide. Like, it's okay. I can give over my privacy for some free product. But we see trends. There's a Brookings Institute report that says widespread, all ages, race, gender, education, they're losing confidence in Google and other big tech more than other institutions. And it's really around this privacy. It's so big. It's super creepy. And it's out of control. I think quickly on TikTok, I've heard some of your comments on it. And what I think is really fascinating is now that the House and the Senate have passed it and the White House has signed it, my read of that legislation is they just determined that your data and the ability for somebody to take it and control what you see through leveraging that data in an algorithm is a national security asset. That's my read of that legislation, which I think is a huge chink in the armor of Google and these big tech companies that built that business model.
Yeah. Well, they're essentially centralizing it. They're saying that no one else is allowed to have your personal information or your data information or your spending habits or whatever. No one's allowed to have that except for us. And we're going to use that for national security purposes, just like they said. I mean, this new CINFIN tracker that's through the Commerce Department out of all places is now saying that they're using your social media. If you use the term MAGA or conservative or Republican or Donald Trump or any of this, to track your personal finances to see if you're buying Bibles and firearms. If that's not an intrusion on your privacy, I don't know what is, Kristen.
It's true. It's true. It's out of control. And Google itself, like, they've worked with the government, as we have seen in a recent Supreme Court case. And what they have done is they put trackers every single place you go. So they know every single thing about you. And when you think about on a national scale, if Google was a country, it would be in the top 10 economies in the world. It's the size of South Korea or Brazil. Just think about that institution that's so big. They pay $26 billion annually to be the search engine everywhere. Just think about how much control they have. And then if they collude with the government, it's all over.
Yeah, it's very concerning. We're talking with Kristen Jackson. She is the co-founder of Freespoke, freespoke.com, a search engine that doesn't do all of this stuff. Talk about your algorithm. When you talk about having information from both sides of the aisle and just the news or just the facts or just whatever out there, how do you set an algorithm like that to be, quote unquote, fair and balanced to allow both sides of content and information to be available to you?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. So all search engines operate off of going out, scraping, crawling information, and then organizing it. So when you search for something, we and they can return a search result that is recent and relevant. That usually gets you pretty quality results. What we did is we used established methodologies. So you guys might know All Sides is an existing organization that labels content by publisher, AdSense Media, Media Bias Fact Check. These are all sources that just label content. And so we work through those, or we just follow how they label it. We get a consensus, and our algorithm, when it crawls the content to surface it for you, it labels that content, and we can say, okay, we want to make sure you're getting recent and relevant and all viewpoints in those search results.
I love it. It's a great way to do that. When you search something, let's say it's something controversial, let's say like January 6th, or it's about, you know, vaccines with COVID-19, you're going to see, like you said, you're going to see that information from just everywhere. It's not just going to be, oh, well, those anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers, they're the ones that are going to jail and getting sick and dying. You're not going to see that on the front page, are you?
Exactly. You're not just going to see that. You might see it, but you're definitely going to see another viewpoint right next to it. So you can say, oh, this is the angle this side is taking. And here's where I want to go for information, right? Or I want to see a little bit of both. We also show, you know, this can be controversial to some people, but we treat people like adults, and we think that you can consume information. So we show Russia Today, which we know is Russian propaganda. but we just label it pro-Russia because it comes from Russia. And so you could actually read what somebody on the left, somebody, you know, kind of more moderate, somebody on the right, and Russia's propaganda is all saying about a topic, and you know, you're actually finally informed. You're not just overwhelmed with data or sources and trying to figure it out. You actually feel informed.
Wow. I love that. That's a great way to do that. Absolutely. You had mentioned a while ago about the concern about privacy that we have today and how people are willing to even just take little freebies because of that. Now, I don't know if you're referencing the same story or not. Being 35, millennial myself, I had read a story a while ago about my generation was totally open to allowing the government to track all of their emails for a free pizza. Because if I have nothing to hide, then there's I don't care. You can just search and do whatever you need to. Which was an extreme concern to me. So we got to take a break real quick. Kristen, can you stick over one more segment with me?
I can. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. I want to set it up because with that concern about freedom of speech and that privacy, are we seeing the next generation, the generation that's never seen true privacy, that's always been under surveillance with technology today, having a screen in front of their face, having a computer in front of them at all times? Are they the ones that understand privacy and are fighting for it, or do they even know what privacy really is? I want to do that, plus the pornography thing is very interesting. We'll do that when we come back in more with FreeSpoke, freespoke.com. Go and check it out, the search engine that doesn't track and doesn't silence some of the content. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
We're using common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on this program each and every day. So great to have you with us. Got a few minutes left of the show. We're hanging out with the co-founder of FreeSpoke, freespoke.com. That's FreeSpoke, just like free and spoke, like the Voice of Reason spoke today. Why the hell didn't you listen? Ha! See what he did there? See, that's what we call a joke. FreeSpoke.com. You can go and check it out. It is the alternative to Google with your information, the content that you want to find out. We're hanging out with Kristen Jackson. So I posed it going into the break there, but when it comes to privacy, who's advocating, do you think, right now? What generation for the most amount of privacy? The young generations, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, never been able to experience true free privacy because technology's around us all the time. Most homes have Amazon now, and you know, we essentially just allowed the government into our homes by having this kind of technology, which I'm not saying it's not convenient, not cool, but also now they can watch and listen to every single thing that we're doing with cameras on our TVs and on our phones and microphones and everything else. Who's advocating for this privacy that we need?
I will say that we're seeing some positive data that would say that at least the 20-year-olds, young 30-year-olds are starting to see it as a problem and something that they'll take action on. So I referenced this Brookings Institution report, came out the end of last year. It showed all ages across the board collapse in confidence in three major big tech companies between 2018 and 2021. And they pointed to privacy. So that's trending in the right direction. And then we, as I stated, we don't know anything about you. We're not tracking you. We don't know who's coming to our products, but we do run some Facebook ads so we can see who our ads are resonating with. And we have these ads that are showing Google being the creepy Google guy, as we would call it. And we see younger female audiences really engage with that. So I do think you're right. It's a little bit more of an older audience. I'm barely a millennial. I'm an old millennial. And it took me a little bit. It took me some education on how abusive and oppressive this is for me to say, wow, I have to step up and join this fight or lead this fight against it. But I think it's a growing education. People are becoming more informed and ready to stand up.
Yeah, that is good. Becoming more aware. Even to this day, I don't think we're aware of how much the government and Google, that's obviously in Meta and everybody that all work together, how much information they have on us each and every day. And it's a little scary when you do get just little breadcrumbs of what they're actually collecting. We got a couple minutes left here, but you mentioned adult content, which I find interesting as well with your FreeSpoke, to where you don't allow any of that to be on there as well. Talk about what kind of content you guys are actually blocking altogether and what that means for your actual product here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So we did not plan this. This was not part of the original scope. We had all viewpoints, you know, not censoring a thing and protecting your privacy. Once we got into it, we learned that online pornography is the third most common form of sex trafficking. That's after illicit massage parlors and escort services, and that's straight data from the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So then we were like, well, that seems wrong to be a part of that. Then we read a New York Times article from 2020 that was written by a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who wrote, Google supports the business model of child molesters. And again, you're like, wow, that's a super hard-hitting statement in this expose against Pornhub. What is this? Then you read that Pepperdine Law Review exposes 1 out of 5 pornographic images of a child. And lastly, the real kicker, the National Center on Missing and Exploited Children, they reported last year alone, in 2023 alone, 36 million tips came into their cyber tip line of online child sexual abuse. 36 million tips. And that was accompanied by over 105 million images and documents showing this abuse was existing. So it's just like every time I say those statistics that we learned over time, it hits me, right? Like this is a horrible situation that online is just allowing, they're lighting a fire underneath it. And we said, we can't be a part of that. And really, when you come back to the point of your show and the common sense and the voice of reason, pornography is so, it's littered throughout that experience. It's coming after our children. Our poor children are finding this content before they know how to make sense of it. And it impacts their little brains. It impacts adults' brains in interesting scientific ways as well. But it really just makes no sense to have it in a general information search engine that you hand to your children.
Yeah. Amen to that. Oh, well, God bless what you guys are doing. This is amazing. We need more of this. We need more privacy. And the fact that you guys are aware of it and offering that. Again, I always say the private market always finds a way to fill a demand and a void for the consumer. And that's what you guys are doing, especially when it comes to those that don't want their information tracked. Freespoke.com. Freespoke.com. You can download it. You can go to the website. You can search. Use that search engine. The alternatives to Google and all the crazy. I just saw a headline as well as we wrap up here. According to Time.com, that Google is now doing what they're calling pre-bunking into the election, getting out stuff that they say is misinformation during election season. You can see how well that's going to go. Kristen, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Let's do this again real soon. We got to talk again.
Thank you. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Appreciate it very much. There it is. Back at it again tomorrow for the Friday to wrap up your week. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.